Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I am welcoming you to our Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. Welcome, welcome, welcome. The second Tuesday of March 2016, and I have a fabulous guest for you, first-class businesswoman, entrepreneur, inspirational speaker, great friend, Dawn Ferrantino. Dawn is a first-class woman and a very, 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 that's three verys, good friend of mine that I've had the privilege of coaching for over 3 years, and I've had the privilege of sharing the stage multiple occasions with Dawn. She is going to be our guest for tonight. Now, Dawn, do I have you on the speaker line tonight?
You do, Jeff. I'm here.
All right, so I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, Dawn, then the call will be yours, so I know you have some absolutely great content. I must also state, Dawn, you look stunning in your profile picture and your web presence, so great to have you on tonight's call. Folks, if you just dialed into this call for the first time, my name is Jeffrey Combs, and I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's call is going to be a live interview with Dawn Ferrantino. That is one of many of hundreds of interviews that I've conducted in the last 19-plus years. I have had the great Jim Rohn on this call on two different occasions, Mark Victor Hansen, John Assaraf on multiple occasions, Dr. Joe Dispenza on multiple occasions, Dr. Judith Orloff, along with a whole host of other network marketing, direct sales superstars, and entrepreneurial professionals. I have had Alexis Romano multiple times, Susan Sly, C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, and now tonight, Dawn Ferrantino. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then we'll move into the interview for tonight's call. This Saturday, I will be in beautiful Marina Del Rey / Los Angeles, California for the first time in 2016. That is one of my favorite cities. I used to reside in beautiful West Los Angeles, so it's always a privilege to speak in one of my favorite cities. Now, next Saturday, March 19th, I will be in Newark, New Jersey at a landmark event. If you do not have tickets for this event, this is an event I would highly suggest you get a ticket as soon as possible. There still are seats available. It's at the Newark Marriott Airport Hotel in a beautiful Marriott. There is going to be an absolute great turnout and great event for the great Dr. Joe Dispenza, along with Alexis Romano, myself, and a few other key speakers that are clients of mine will be sharing the stage with me next Saturday. You can purchase a ticket for all of $20. You can purchase it at the door or online at www.goldenmastermind.com. I'm going to cover a few of the cities where I'll be speaking in the next couple of months, and then we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. March 26th, I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts. That's a fabulous hotel, the Hilton at the airport. April 2nd, Cleveland, Ohio. April 9th, Chicago, Illinois. April 16th, my first trip ever to beautiful Bozeman, Montana. Now, I have spoken in Montana on two occasions, but never in the north central part of the state in beautiful Bozeman, Montana. April 23rd, I'll be in St. Louis, Missouri, one of my all-time favorite cities. I spent many summers going to St. Louis Cardinal games. April 30th, Norwalk, Connecticut. May 14th, Long Island, New York. May 21st, Philadelphia. June 4th, Atlanta. I just added Atlanta to my speaking venue. And June 18th, I'll be in White Plains, New York. Now, I'm also going to be booking Fort Lauderdale, Florida for July, and I will have guest speakers with me at that event. Now, if you've never coached with me or have considered hiring me to be your coach, I've coached well over 11,000 plus coaching clients. My coaching is done all one-on-one. It is done by me. It is not farmed out to a series of coaches that I've trained or certified coaches that I've trained. My coaching is individual. It's done one-on-one by me. I routinely have a 12 to 14 week waiting list for my coaching services. If you would like to test drive my coaching and are serious and or committed and want to find out more about what I can assist you to let go of or what I can assist you to create in free enterprise, you can contact me on Facebook, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y, Jeffrey Combs. That is my Facebook profile page. And you can also contact me at 209-932 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. And I also want to let you know that last night I hosted my first live prospecting call for the first time in several years, and I must say it was a resounding success. We had over 200 listeners on last night's call. The call has a Facebook group page for those who have purchased the product. Even though I hosted my first call last night, you can still purchase the product because I record all of the calls. We have our own individual group. I have a script book that is available to you online. I'm also adding additional products and videos to the call. It's a four-week live call. The calls are recorded and uploaded for you the next day. Last night, I had multiple leads from different lead vendors. I also created about 50 leads from Craigslist and had live dials for qualified buyers. I had 8 conversations and booked 3 appointments, and I also had 2 callbacks from people I conversed with yesterday and or left a message. So there's 3 weeks left of that course, $97. You can go directly to my website, goldenmastermind.com. In the upper middle section of the page, it says Live Prospecting Clinic, and you will be added automatically to the Facebook page, to the Facebook group with the live phone number that you can dial into. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So as I said, even though I've had one call, you will have access to the call that I've already recorded that went out today and the 3 remaining calls. And you can purchase that call up until what ends 3 weeks from tonight. You can also go to prospectingclinic.com. And with that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is with great privilege and pleasure that I have the opportunity to introduce to you one of the most exceptional women I have ever had the privilege of coaching, mentoring, collaborating with, and spending quality time with. Dawn Ferrantino is a world-class woman and someone you unequivocally deserve to know. Dawn is passionate about health and fitness. She is certified in Pilates and believes in mind-body connection. She's also passionate about creating and designing life on your own terms and assist others on how to create freedom for themselves, financial time, and she has created a multiple six-figure annual income, is the top 100 income earners in her company, and is unequivocally someone who you deserve to collaborate with. Dawn is an exceptional life coach, business coach, personal coach, someone who can absolutely assist you with your transformation, with your health, with your wealth. Dawn is also a very, very skilled accountant, having reached the top of her profession in corporate America as a multiple six-figure income earner. She's also the mother of 2 exceptional young men who are exceptional baseball players, a wife, and a first-class woman. Dawn, great to have you on tonight's call.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Great to have you on here with me, Dawn. You know, it's been over 3-plus years, actually going on 4 years, that I have known you. This fall, it will be our 4-year anniversary. I had the privilege of meeting you in Weehawken, New Jersey, a little less than 4 years ago, and what an exceptional transformation and ride it has been for you. Dawn, can you give us a little background on what it was like growing up in your household and your early careers in corporate America?
Absolutely, Jeff. So growing up, I lived with my mother and my sister and my brother. My parents were divorced when I was 13, so we had a life of the three of us. My uncle and my grandmother also lived with us, so we had a lot of people in the home. We had an amazing childhood, but we had our struggles like most families do. We lived with a house that had alcohol and drugs, and you know, we had to really work hard to get anything that we wanted in life. We struggled when we were younger, and I probably started working at the age of maybe 12, where I began babysitting or raking leaves or shoveling snow or going to the senior citizens building down the street on Main Street to see if I could clean their places, their homes. So I really started working at an extremely young age, because anything that I said that we wanted, we really, you know, we had to really pay for and find the money. We had a lot of lack in our house in regards to finances. And that was how I grew up. So I started working at a very young age. I loved working. I worked 2, 3, sometimes 4 jobs at a time and went to school to be an accountant and graduated college and started in the public accounting field. Had a lot of clients all over the entire country, traveled, flew, and decided when it was time to have a family, I needed to get out of that rat race because it wasn't going to allow me to have children. So I went to the private sector of accounting, where I worked for a client of mine as the controller of their company. And I worked there for about 12 years and then went to a nonprofit to still try to get some more time off. I really lacked a lot of time freedom working in accounting. It was a great career, but it's a very, very tiring career. It really knocked me down. And the best I could do was go to a nonprofit organization, take a huge pay cut.
About three times what you were accustomed to, wasn't it?
The pay cut was huge. Yeah, the pay cut knocked me down a lot, where I actually had to get another part-time job just to try to make ends meet. But it did give me a little bit more flexibility to be there for my kids. I was allowed to work from home occasionally and maybe get a fifth week vacation. Certainly wasn't, you know, the glamorous life, but it was a little bit more freedom than I had working in the corporate world.
Now, that is when I met you, was about 4 years ago. Here's where you were. You were a product consumer in a network marketing direct sales company. You were moving into being able to market the product, and you were starting to see the value of the business opportunity. You had two sons that were teenagers, very accomplished baseball players, both high school all-star baseball players. A husband had a job that he did not like, a very demanding career. You were making less than double what you used to make, and you had a part-time job. So you were also working for another accountant, and you were also building a business. So you virtually had three careers, two children that played high school and other base and organized baseball, up to 60 games a summer and spring, a husband and property. So that's where I met you, Dawn, and I must say this about you. You were one of the most exceptional multitaskers, organized, detailed, systematic people that I have had the privilege of coaching. I also want to say that I met you through an exceptional woman named Alexis Romano. I believe you and Alexis went to high school together. Can you share a little bit about your friendship and collaboration with Alexis in the last few years?
Absolutely. So, yes, Alexis and I have known each other pretty much our whole lives. Our mothers were actually friends as well. I remember my mother sharing a story. I didn't even know that she had lent my brother's communion suit to Alexis's brother 1 year. So,
would it be safe to say you're Jersey girls?
we're Jersey girls. So she had continued to post some stuff on Facebook for a while regarding something that she was doing, and I decided to jump on the opportunity at some point. And I joined her, like you had said earlier, just as a product user. So I came on as a product user in June of 2012 and decided to take a look at the business opportunity in September of 2012. Alexis has been a huge part of not only my success, but my life. I mean, she is the best mentor and support system anybody could ever ask for. And she is one of the most humble, just generous, kind, passionate people. And she has drastically helped me with my success as well as you. So Alexis and I, we rekindled after all those years and got started again, like I said, on the products and became a product user first. And then I looked at the business opportunity, and it has brought us so close. I mean, Alexis and I have an amazing relationship, partnership, business relationship, as well as a friendship.
So let's fast forward to where you are today. I've had the privilege of watching the entire transformation. Dawn, I watched you go from product user to multiple six, soon to be seven-figure income earner. I know some of your teammates are on tonight's call. I heard Kelly Bartoletti, who's also a first-class woman from Long Island, New York, who I met about the same time I met you, and she's been with you in this journey. I also heard a couple of your teammates, Marcus and Gina, who you've also been instrumental in mentoring to, where Marcus could quit his job. Dawn, now here you are. You're a multiple six-figure income earner, well on your way to your first seven-figure year in the next 24 months or less. But it wasn't that long ago that I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to bring you here, but also go back. It wasn't that long ago you had two children that were about 14 and 16 when I met you, give or take. They were playing about 60 games a year minimum of organized baseball, high school plus other baseball. Your husband had a full-time career. You were a full-time accountant in a nonprofit and a part-time job with another first-class client and friend of yours, Jeffrey Skolnick. So how did you put it all together? How did you make that transition from part-time business owner, spare-time business owner, to multiple six-figure income earner in less than 4 years?
That's a great question, Jeff. And that's actually a really great word that you used is spare-time business owner, because that's really what I did is I borrowed time. I didn't have a lot of it. I was extremely busy. I know we always use the word productive, but back then it was busy and it was juggling and it was getting kids off and nobody drove at the time and, you know, juggling from one job to the next or from the baseball field to the food store to wherever I had to get. And it was hard. It was really hard. And at the beginning, I treated it like a job. And I know I've shared this before with my teammates, so it will be a repeat for them, but I think it's important for those on the call that have never heard it before to hear, is I treated this like a job at the beginning. And at the beginning, that's really okay because you want to do your best. You want to make sure that people are happy with you. But a job, just like we say, you're going to get paid what the job is worth, and not treating it like a business and not treating it like a destiny for me or a legacy for my family and treating it more like a job was starting to hold me back. So I just began to borrow time. I borrow time on my way to work. I borrow time on my lunch. I borrow time on my way home from work. I took advantage of the sporting events that I was at and borrow time then. I would go to my car in the middle of maybe an inning. I would prospect on the bleachers at games. I would use the bathroom at work to make a phone call. I would go into the parking lot to pretend to get something out of my car and make a call. So I really just borrowed whatever time I could from whatever places I could. And
Dawn,
got into action.
You had reached the top of your profession in your 30s, where you had become a multiple six-figure income earner running a company. And I know that you and I used to converse about that, about the toll it took on your body. And then when I met you, you were making, I mean, you'd gone from multiple six figures down to less than $100,000. And you were, I wouldn't say you're getting by, but you definitely weren't living the good life. What was it that inspired you to be able to overcome one full-time career, a part-time job, two children in their teens? What was it that allowed you to be able to break through to become a full-time businesswoman? You did it in less than 2 years. What was it? What was that inspiration, that fire inside that drove you?
The fire inside was really just the vision and the consistency, the persistence. And I don't give up on anything I do. That's just not in my vocabulary, and it's definitely not part of who I am. So when I decided to commit to this business, I knew I was full in. I did not tiptoe in. I did not walk down the stairs of the pool. I literally jumped in the deep end. And I just kept going and going. Again, I don't treat anything half-assed. I do everything 150%, and that's just how I treated this business as well.
You know, you bring up a great point. You know, you and I and Alexis would represent the law of the few. Not everyone is as committed as you are, and you were the woman who's paid the price, and you're still paying the price. That's one of the situations I admire the most about you. So one of the things you also learned early in your career is not everyone is as driven as you. What kind of lesson was that for you in your first couple of years to realize that not everyone was going to follow your lead, even though your lead was exceptional?
At the beginning, it was hard because I just thought that that's what everybody does. And it was hard to meet people where they were at when I first got started because I didn't know any better. So when you're working at a job and you're expected to do your performance and you're based your reviews on how your performance is and your increase is based on your performance, everybody wants to do their best. So when I first got started in this business, I just figured everybody would want to make a lot of money and everybody would want to do this and everybody would want to be plugged in and everybody's going to do 150%. And it was, like you said, the few that really did jump on board and link arms in that capacity. And at the beginning, it was extremely frustrating because I was setting myself up for disappointment all the time. Instead of meeting people where they were at, I tried to drag people. I tried to convince, I tried to persuade, I tried to show them the bigger picture instead of just meeting people where they were and learning when to bless and release and just let go And that was probably the hardest thing that you've assisted me with, was just letting go.
Well, that's a nebulous term. What does it really mean to let go? And I mean, you're like CG. You understand what controlling control, to be out of the control you control now, means. And one of the biggest breakthroughs that I did witness you have was over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, it really started for you. You started to understand what letting go means. I'm not going to ask you to explain that, because that is one of those nebulous terms. But you're also right now in the process of transition. You're in the process of really taking your game to the next level. And your attractor factor has changed because of letting go of control. Dawn, what tip would you give someone who's on tonight's call who is struggling in their company? They're making somewhere between $100 a week to maybe $1,000 a month, and it's just not happening for them. What insight would you give that person, other than not quitting, who is struggling and still does have some shred of a dream?
I think the biggest advice is to really look at what they're doing on a daily basis, and are they consistent? And if they are consistent, then something's not working in what they're doing, and that they have to be open to change, and they have to be open to being able to notice what that struggle is and to change it. So it could be something as simple as if they're using social media incorrectly, or it could just be something as their circle of friends that they're surrounding themselves with. It could be something as simple as asking the wrong questions. Are they going through a series of questions? So the best advice is to really test and validate, which was taught to me a long time ago. When something's not working, there's a reason it's not working, and it's always us, but we have to figure out why we're not working.
Great answer. Another situation that I love about you, Dawn, is you unequivocally know how to answer a question. You also represent the law of the few. You do not have a gap and a delay in your communication style. You are checked in, not checked out. Once again, this makes you in the law of the few, and this is also a skill you had to master. Now, here was another major breakthrough for you. Dawn, you and I and Alexa share this. Oftentimes, we're so productive being productive that we're productive being productive. You know what I mean, right, Dawn?
Yes. Yes.
One of the biggest breakthroughs for you was you eventually included your husband, Mike. I had the privilege of spending some first-class quality time with him a couple of weeks ago in Clark, New Jersey, and he and I share the love of sports and baseball. Your husband was a minor league baseball player, and you learned the value of really including your family after being so productive that you were productive being productive. Can you share with the folks a little bit about how important it is to find balance as you're taking yourself to the top of your endeavor?
Oh, absolutely. And it's actually crucial and key, or it can actually be your demise. So at the beginning of my journey, I really didn't include the family. I didn't include them in my vision, my why. I didn't include them in really what I was doing. I just pretty much told them when I had an event, and I just marked the calendar when I wouldn't be home. But I didn't include them. Inclusion was not part of it. And it's because I just, again, treated it like something else that was mine and didn't look at the bigger picture of how it was going to impact or affect them. So the best advice I give everybody is that your family should be included from day one, no matter what that goal is, and include them to the full extent, meaning even if your kids are young, you know, doing vision boards with your kids or explaining why you're not at an event. I've never missed a baseball game in my life until I started this business. And sometimes you have to sacrifice things that you never thought you'd sacrifice before, so that you can have the life that you deserve to live. And not including them at the beginning, they didn't understand why mom might not be at a game, or why I was gone again for another weekend, why I had to go across country to California. So including them from the beginning and giving them a reason why this business was so powerful for us as a family was the missing link in my business at the beginning.
It was, and now your husband is no longer employed at a automobile dealership. He is a part of the business in your home. He has a role, and he was able to walk away from a career that unequivocally he was underpaid and overworked and was overstressed. What does it feel like to have your husband at home now?
It was, you know, it's funny because people will ask me what my most rewarding thing was in this business, and it was bringing him home. And even though he may not be as active in the business as I am, and even though he may not actively build the business like I do, the fact that he's here and he's home and he doesn't have to wake up to an alarm clock, and the stress levels are gone in the house. And you know, you didn't realize how much that job was draining, not just on him, but on our marriage, honestly. And the bitterness and the nastiness that could happen in here because of a bad day at work. So the first time on a Monday when he didn't have to get up, and I remember him waking up about 7:30 and he says, wow, the alarm didn't go off today. And then the first snowstorm in New Jersey, which we always have bad winters, and recently he said, I don't have to go to work and plow the parking lot. And like, that's what it's about. It's about the time freedom. It's about living a life that you want to live, not one that you have to live. And that's what was so rewarding, was getting him home. I never realized how bad he really had it. And I probably could have brought him home even a year earlier, but I was afraid to bring him home because I really thought, gosh, being with him 24 hours a day in the house, you know, could be draining on us. And I realized that what was draining on us was having him be in a career where he was miserable, underpaid, ridiculed, abused. It was awful. And it was time for him to get out.
He was wasn't he a parts manager in a top tier automobile dealership?
Correct, yes.
Which was definitely not a rewarding career. Let's talk a little bit about the skills, Dawn, because this is an area that you really thrive in. Dawn, you are, once again, you're someone who came into the business, and in a relatively short period of time, you grasp it. And you, for those of you who are listening, Dawn is unequivocally the type of person you seek to attract. Dawn represents the law of the few. She's someone who can conceptualize and create, meaning she requires very little support, very little supervision, and she gets it. Now, there are people like Dawn out there, and you want to have Dawn as an avatar, as someone who really you want to have on your radar, that person who has that it factor, that person who is also feels unrewarded and underpaid. I unequivocally watched Dawn in a part-time endeavor, in a part-time effort, make $108,000. And this is while she started the year with a part-time job, a full-time job, and two kids. Dawn, can you share a little bit about the skills required to be a professional network marketer in your first year or two, provided you started to commit? What was it that allowed you to really break through, besides having Alexis and having the great system that she had in place for your team? What skill did you learn that really allowed you to make those breakthroughs?
The biggest skill I learned was really just listening and learning how to ask questions. So, you know, we have two ears for a reason and one mouth, and it was really about learning how to keep the mouth shut and how to keep the ears open and ask questions that people can relate to. Finding people's pain points, which took practice, and it definitely took experience getting to, but breaking people into a pain point was a skill that I acquired in the first year, where I was able to give people a solution for what they were struggling with. Definitely, I know that we just said not necessarily Alexis and the systems, but it really was about learning that as well. I knew I could learn the skills because I'm extremely coachable and teachable, and I may not understand something, but I'll learn it, and I will do everything I have to master it. So I knew I'd learn the skills without a doubt. The habits were hard at the beginning because, again, I didn't have a lot of time, so I had to figure out how I was going to fit these consistent habits in. But the mindset was the biggest thing lacking. So as you said, Jeff, I mean, I did go to over $100,000 in just under a year, and it was amazing. It was wonderful, but my mindset still wasn't 100% in the game. And once I really got the mindset in the right direction and utilized all of the amazing tips and techniques that was happening with my coaching with you, the business just really took off.
I remember it was 2014 that you actually made you gave your notice from a job. You were torn because you didn't really love the job, but you also were very loyal to your employees because you had a managerial position, and you left with pride and dignity. You gave them a long notice before you left. You stayed in that company quite a while, and then you tripled your income after walking away from that job in 2014. I remember when that happened. Dawn, can you share a little bit about the skills to be an exceptional prospector closer? Now, these are skills that many people avoid. A large percent of the population has anxiety about the outcome of prospecting, asking questions, recruiting. leading with the product, leading with the business. Can you share a little with how you were able to overcome any of your anxieties and how you were able to get in the game quickly and master prospecting and closing?
Of course. I definitely had an attachment to the outcome at the beginning, and that was the hardest thing that I did need to release. So not having any attachment to the outcome, not requiring somebody to do something for you or expecting somebody to do something for you and realizing that people are predictable and never expect a result and just be pleasantly surprised when it happens was probably the hardest part at the beginning. And when I released that and when I let it go and I became the master at asking questions and I became the master of finding out people's pain points and I became great at having no longer attachments to the outcome, people just showed up. People just showed up in my inbox. People wanted to collaborate. People that were already in my business raised their hand. People that were in my business doing a little started to do a lot. So the attractor factor definitely changed, and people definitely showed up. But it was because I had to learn how to not have the attachments, bless and release at a much quicker time, and really just focus on the result and not necessarily the process to get there. And that was probably the biggest hurdle for me. But when I did do that, like you said, my income, I mean, it tripled. And when I left the job and when I really utilized the advantage of being home now full-time and considering myself a full-time professional network marketer rather than a pockets of my time, spare time, borrow from here and there network marketer, it also changed my image. It also gave me a different feeling about myself, and it put me in the position where I was proud of what I was doing. I was focused, and I was just laser focused on results, result driven.
That's, I can relate to this exactly. I know exactly what you mean. Dawn, I'm going to ask you a two-part question, and it really wraps around the same point. Now, I had the privilege of watching Grant Cardone on a video just recently. Grant Cardone is one of the world's greatest sales trainers, someone who's worth $350 million in assets and unequivocally knows how to break down the whole process of selling or be sold. And on Cardone's video I was watching the other night, he made a statement that I'm going to let you finish and let you explain a little bit about this. Grant Cardone said in one of his videos, first of all, he never has a bad day and he never gets overwhelmed. And he said, why would I have a bad day and why would I want to get overwhelmed? Can you share with people a little bit about your conceptualization of why you don't get overwhelmed and why you don't have a bad day?
Absolutely. I mean, we don't have bad days. We have bad moments. If we have a bad day, it's because we made it a bad day. So when something happens that is a negative or something even catastrophic happens or bad news occurs, it's what you make of it. So you can make that bad situation turn into the worst day of your life, or you can learn and grow from that bad situation and make it the best day of your life. It's just what you make from it. So none of us have bad days. We honestly don't. It's just a bad moment. And you can become overwhelmed by thinking about everything that you have to do rather than just planning your day, scheduling everything out, having a list of what you're going to get done each day at a time that it's going to be done, and checking it off as it's completed. So we create our own overwhelm, and we do that because that's the life that we like to live in. I mean, you're overwhelmed because you create it, but it's also because it's comfortable for you. So if you live in overwhelm, which I did, you know, a long time ago, it's because I created that because that was my comfort zone. That's the only thing I knew. I didn't know any better. So as I began to let go of the overwhelm and I began to really focus on creating a planner and a schedule and having specific blocks of time for specific goals or duties or tasks, it just became a whole different ballgame. And overwhelm can absolutely destroy you. It can wear you down. It can destroy your time of the day. It can you'll waste a lot of time in overwhelm. And what are you overwhelmed about? Like, why do you even let that happen? Because the more overwhelmed you are, the more chaos you're just going to create.
That is an absolute great point. Not only being overwhelmed, can you also touch on the value of being organized? And can you share with people a little bit about your system? Because you are like me. I know you're very detailed. You're systematic. You're organized. Can you share the value of being organized and how to stay organized.
Yes. So being organized, being, I have in my planner for the entire year any event that is coming up that I already know about. All of our team calls for the entire year are already in my planner, and as well as anything that I currently know about. Maybe it's a vacation, maybe it's a specific thing that I do every, you know, Monday at the gym, or whatever it is that I specifically know about are already in my planner. Then I take the other blocks of time that are still open, and I put in there what I'm going to do for the day the next day. So my planner is actually planned ahead of time. And I do leave myself some gaps because things always come up or happen that aren't planned for, so I want to always make sure that I have the time available to fit something else in. I also started using an online scheduler, which has drastically helped me. My team knows that they can't contact me just through a text message or an email or an inbox. If they need me, they go to my online calendar and they book an appointment. So if, I mean, unless it's an emergency or it's something extremely important, of course, anybody can text me. But they know that if they need my time is extremely valuable, it needs to be booked through the calendar and put on my appointment.
What does that mean, your time is valuable?
My time, everybody's time is valuable. But if you don't value your time, then your time is worth zero. So I know what my time is worth, and I know when, you know, I do hit that 7 figures a year, I know what that is worth for an, you know, an hourly rate. And my time is extremely valuable, and I don't have time to waste. So if my team needs me, I will always be there for them, but they do need to book an appointment for me. And it needs to also be, I don't want to say a good reason, but it's not just to say, hi, how are you? I mean, I do plenty of team calls. I'm very active with my team. We're going bowling on Saturday. I'm extremely, you know, involved with them. But if they need me for anything whatsoever business-related, it has to go on the planner and it has to go on the calendar.
Dawn, can Marcus bowl?
Can Marcus bowl? I don't know. We'll find out Saturday.
You ever bowl, Dawn?
Yes, I bowl. I have a meetup group, and I take them bowling once a month. So yes,
are you any good?
I don't use the bumpers.
Yep.
I'm okay. I'm okay. Not
bowling
bad,
is a cool sport because it's a lot like golf. It's like one of those sports that looks easy, but it's a lot like network marketing. It looks easy, but there's a precise method to it. And if you don't really have that method to it, then you're all over the map. It's real easy to throw a gutter ball. It looks like it's real easy to throw a strike, but there's a whole method to rolling that ball right down the hardwood so that you hear that clunk and then 10 pins go down. And that's really a metaphor for closing, because you don't really have a system to close a sale. You have a system to wing disappointment. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do, is they wing it and they're disappointed. Dawn, you,
yes,
as a top-tier accountant in the corporate world and then also running companies, and then being in a nonprofit, I want to switch over to money, because you were also a woman that I coach for going on, as I said, 4 years, a woman who definitely has a healthy dialogue with money. Now, I've shared this with Jeff Skolnick, who is your friend, teammate, and also a professional accountant and business owner. You know, Jeff Skolnick and I have spoken about how many Americans do not understand their own money. A large percent of the population has a mortgage payment of anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000, $6,000 a month. They don't understand that their mortgage payment, which is practically is a front-loaded loan, a large percent of Americans live in debt, and then they tiptoe quietly through life staying in debt, and they live the pain, greatest pain, the pain of debt regret. Can you share with the folks a little bit about how important it is to get money right emotionally, especially from an accountant's perspective, and then as a woman who's a multiple six and soon-to-be-seven-figure income earner?
Oh, absolutely. And it's so important that people do understand or have a good dialogue with money. I mean, many of us buy homes that we just can't afford. And, you know, we can always afford the payment because we always look at our job and say, well, we'll get an increase even if it's 1% or 2%, but my mortgage payment's not going to change. So people go into the loan with the bank thinking that they can afford the home. And what they can afford is the mortgage. They really can't afford the home. So those loans are front-loaded.
This is great advice, Dawn. This is great advice.
I mean, they are front-loaded loans. They're definitely, you're paying so much percentage down on the interest at the beginning of these loans. And so many of us also get caught up, especially young, you're just out of college, you're getting ready to get married, you want a house, you want a family. And we all try to take out these 30-year loans, which is the worst thing we can do, too. You want to take out, if you have to take out a mortgage, you want it to be as small as possible. And a 15-year mortgage is definitely the way to go. The increase in the mortgage payment is not as big as the interest that you're going to pay for 15 more years.
Yeah, the perception is it's a double payment, but it's not.
It's
actually,
not, yeah.
You're paying 180 months rather than 360 months.
Right, so it's definitely not a double payment. And, again, the interest that you'd be saving is incredible. And you also want to double up when you can on a payment. So sometimes people get bonuses at work. If you get a bonus, consider taking 50% of that bonus, especially if it's paid at work and it's not in your network marketing bonus. You've already had taxes taken out on it. Put 50% down on your mortgage. Pay your mortgage off before your payment for your mortgage is due. In other words, if you're going to make an extra payment, you want to make sure that extra payment comes in before the payment is due, because that will go straight to principal. So it's just really important that people understand the interest that banks are charging. They are at their low, and people should consider refinancing just to get down to a lower rate if they're paying a very high rate right now. But they're just going to go up. I mean, it's just a matter of time before they go back up again.
And that's one of the very reasons that you have a business from home, because you're soon to have two kids in college. And, I mean, look what's going on in the college situation. 8%, another front-loaded loan. Dawn,
awful.
It is. What are some most common mistakes you see new entrepreneurs make, specifically in network marketing and direct sales, that absolutely derails them and sabotages them?
I think the biggest mistake that people make is thinking they have to get people or attacking people instead of just letting the process happen. They get so attached to the outcome that they just don't give up on that specific person. And also not learning the skills, but I think the mindset is more important. Fortunately for me, because of Alexis, we were definitely coached and trained right away on mindset. And in network marketing, or really with anything in life, you have to have the right mindset. And without that, it can actually totally derail you. So personal development on a daily basis is required, whether you're in day one of your network marketing company or day 1,000. Every single day, you should be doing 20 to 30 to 60 minutes of personal development daily. And there should never be an excuse of why you can't. There is so much time that is wasted. People drive to work. They listen to a radio that is absolutely useless. I have not listened to the radio in my car in 3 years. Just doing laundry in the house or cooking dinner, you could just put on the podcast, or you can hit a play button on the computer. It's so easy and simple to find time, because we waste so much time. We waste years. I did a study one time, or not a study, but I did an exercise in one of the public speaking engagements I was doing for you, and I showed people that they're wasting 20 years of their life. If they're watching TV just a few hours a day for their entire life, they've wasted 20 years of watching TV. So we all have the same amount of time in the day. It's just that most of us don't know how to manage it.
It's shocking how much time people waste and how little value most of society puts on their time. One of the biggest challenges that most people encounter is their inability to prospect, their inability to ask the questions. Fortunately for you, you were able to conceptualize and create on command relatively quickly. Now, as I know as a success coach and mentor, that you've been teaching these skills for the last 4-plus years, can you give some closing tips on how to be able to be an effective closer from the comfort of your home in your own enterprise?
Sure. So to be an effective closer from home, like if I was doing a call, it's really, once again, about getting to the pain point, but just giving people the comfort knowing that I'm going to be by their side as they start a journey, that I'm going to be coaching, mentoring them the whole time, but also letting them see the bigger picture. I ask many times on my calls what it's going to mean, whatever their reason is for joining me, what it's going to mean when they get to that specific goal. What is it going to look like? How is their life going to be different? What's going to change? What's going to be different in 30, 60, 90 days from now once they get started? And then I remind them and I bring that back to them all the time. When people say no, I just really know that it just means not now. I never take no as a no. and nobody ever comes off my list. There are definitely some people that are not qualified for my products or my business, and I've actually turned people away, and I think that's the biggest mistake that people do at the beginning is they want everybody in, and not everybody is a qualified prospect for your products or your business. And it's important to realize that, because the more people that you just want in for numbers, it's all about quality. It's not about quantity. And if you have a lot of quantity, you'll have a lot of chaos. If you have a lot of quality, you'll have a very solid foundation in your business that will do nothing but soar.
Dawn, I loved that. That's great, great advice. What's the most adverse situation you've had to overcome as a businesswoman in the last few years? What was your lowest low that you said that it took you to the down the rabbit hole, and how did you come back?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think I don't really consider a lot of lows in my business. I've had, again, you know, bad moments or challenging moments, but I don't know if I was necessarily ever in a really deep rabbit hole. I think the biggest challenge that I might have had is it was Breakthroughs to Success that I came out for in February of last year, 2015. And I was really at a struggling point, you know, in my home life. And it was because, once again, I wasn't allowing him to leave his job or retire. I wasn't including them as much. And I was really, really torn on where I was going, where we were going, where the family was going. And the one thing that you had always taught me is you don't leave people behind. They choose to stay there. And I think that there was a lot of guilt in me, and I had a hard time releasing the guilt that I was growing so much as a person. I was growing so much in my business. My business was flourishing. I was attracting those that I deserved to attract into my business. And things were happening on the negative side in the home life. And it was really, really hard for me to make a decision on what was going to be the best thing for me and for us. And going to that Breakthroughs to Success in that year, that was the best event that I ever went to. And it really showed me where I needed to be and what I needed to do. And that was probably the biggest rabbit hole I was in with my business. And that's when I realized I wasn't including my family. I was being extremely selfish. I was making this business totally about myself. Even though I knew why I was doing this and it was totally for my family, I was making it about me. And when I stopped doing that and I allowed him to come home and I included the kids and I showed them the vision, my entire family life took a 360 into the right direction. So that's probably the biggest rabbit hole, and I'm sorry that it's not business related to clients, prospects, or business partners, but I have a very, very blessed team and business, and I just don't have anything negative to say about being in a rabbit hole. I just deal with it when it happens. Trust me, there's drama, there's chaos occasionally, there's controversy, but you just deal with it when it happens and you move forward.
That is some of the best advice that I've ever heard on this call, is how to really live in the solution, not the problem. That really is you. Now, you also have a sister who I've had the privilege of meeting, who is a top-tier network, or is a top-tier corporate American, and she's reached the top of her profession. And you came from some challenging backgrounds, but both you and her are top-tier income earners. And you know, not everyone has that situation. Not everyone is as driven as you, and I believe that's one of the greatest lessons you've learned, is to meet people where they are. Can you talk a little bit about lead generation? Because I know you're an exceptional brander in multiple places. What insight would you give someone on tonight's call who has challenges with leads and challenges with calling them?
Well, first of all, nobody should ever say they run out of leads, because there are leads everywhere. There are so many leads that are also free. There's so many ways to prospect. I have at least 10 different lead sources, and I do that, and I have that because you never want to rely on one. First of all, eventually it will run out, and second of all, that one lead source can go away tomorrow. So I have done a really great job of creating leads with strangers, with referrals. I've created a couple of meetup groups myself where I now have a whole new network of people in my meetup. I have joined specific groups on Facebook that have like and common interests with myself. I just went to Puerto Rico for a vacation, and we are in Puerto Rico for my company, so I took advantage and actually had two presentations while I was out in Puerto Rico, as well as connected with 17 new people, and 14 of them were on Facebook. So I've connected with almost 20 new people in Puerto Rico while I was on vacation. So when people say that they run out of people or they don't know how to create leads, you got to get out of your house. It's still a belly-to-belly business, even though you can do a lot of work from your phone. It's still about meeting people. So I go to networking events or vendor events. I've joined almost every gym in my area just to be able to be connected to them. I have partnered with a couple of local businesses that allow me to put my flyers and information in their location, and then once in a while I'll shout them out on my Facebook wall. I have, I think, over 2,000 followers and close to 5,000 friends and 10,000 fans on a fan page. So I have a lot of contacts for people to reach when I promote their businesses. So I do a lot of collaboration, and you know, we really work well together in this town with the companies and the businesses that are partnered with me also.
Dawn, it's obvious that you live in the solution, because that's how you are. Not, as you know, not everyone does this, but you're completely solution-oriented. I could hear you conversing, sharing with your content here about how you come up with situations. You're able to conceptualize and create. You're innovative and creative. You represent a lot of what Simon Sinek discusses in his book Start With Why, is having a why. And how important is it to have a why when you're struggling in life or challenged in this business? And, I mean, really touch a little on that as we start to wrap up our call, the value of having a why.
It's the most important part of doing this business, Jeff. I mean, if you don't have a why, you don't really have a business. And your why doesn't, I mean, it should bring you to tears. It should be really right, hit you in the heart. But even if your why is just something as simple as a couple of $100 a month, it has to mean something. There has to be a reason why you're doing this business, or you're just really, it's just a hobby. The why has always been important to me, and it changes consistently as my business changes and grows. My why has always been powerful. It's always been emotional. It's always been heartfelt. And that's what I get into people when they join me in the business as well, is really digging deep into their why and reminding them as well, because it's important. It's so much easier not to do something in this business than it is to do something in this business. So it's easier to back out. It's easier to quit. It's just easier. And, you know, the more that you remind people why they're in this, and you stand by them and allow them to have their breakdown, but then they have to come back and have a breakthrough. And the why is what will help them get have that breakthrough.
That is absolutely correct. You also become an exceptional brander in multiple places. Now, I know that you and your team have a system on how to be able to use social media effectively. Can you share with people a little bit about the intimidation factor? A lot of people have a story in their head that robs them the opportunity to be their greatest greatness. Can you share with folks who are sitting at home tonight and have this anxiety about LinkedIn and Facebook, and how you overcame that, or how, not how you overcame, but how you became exceptional at branding yourself, because you are an absolute rock star online?
Thank you, Jeff. It really is just about putting yourself out there, not worrying about what anybody's going to think or say, because anything that they think or say is just a story about themselves. And it's just stories that you're making up in your head. If you're creating the outcome before it happened, you're making up a story, and it's nothing but a lie because it didn't happen yet. So it's really just about getting yourself out there, being real to who you are, and sharing that with the world. Because the more relatable that you are, the more transparent you are, and the more real that you are to somebody, they can resonate with you. People can't relate to fake. It doesn't exist. I mean, fake is what it says. It's fake. So if you're not being real and you're not being you on Facebook, you're not going to attract those that you're looking to attract, because you're fake and they know it. It shows up. So you just have to be who you are. You just have to be real. But you also just have to let go of the people that might try to bring you down. A great analogy that I learned one time is, even when you're the most beautiful flower and you're sprouting and you're continuing to grow and the sun is continuing to shine on you, underneath the soil, underneath the grass, there's still weeds. And they're still going to try to wrap around the roots of the flower, and they're still going to try to pull it down. So it's really, you know, you and you branding yourself that's going to overcome that, and just learning how to let go and just kill the weeds as fast as you can.
Great content. Dawn, 2 weeks ago, you and I were in Clark, New Jersey. It was a privilege to have dinner with you on Friday night, right there in your own home, right in your backyard. It was fabulous. But then we had an event for a little under 200 people. You and I are going to reconvene and do that event again in the springtime. And then you and I are going to be speaking across the United States in multiple venues. So really looking forward to it. You've really launched your speaking, coaching career, your branding career. Share a little for the people that are listening. You know, as you're starting to really widen your horizons, what it's like to start to feel to be that person that's now being a leader, grower, and a woman of inspiration and influence and affluence?
I think it's one of the most rewarding pieces of this whole journey, because it was never about me from the beginning ever. But when I can watch and I can see the amazing results of being an effective leader, being an effective coach, being an effective speaker, and seeing the people when I share, when I speak, when I engage in a public speaking event, and I can look in the audience and I can see the tears filling up because something hit them, or I can get a text message after an event about somebody saying, my gosh, like, you have no idea that I felt you were speaking directly to me. I did an exercise at one of our team trainings where there was about 200 of us, and we all broke boards, and I made them write on their board everything, every person, every name, every feeling that's ever held them back. And I don't know if there was one dry eye in that entire training, and all 200 people walked out of there with their boards broken. And it was the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. And that's what this is about. It's not about me, Jeff. It's not about the money. It's about the lives that I can change. And it's about the growth that I can help people have.
Dawn, it's been a privilege having you on tonight's call. I know that you have many teammates and friends. I know one of your high school friends, Joe Alonzo, has also been on this journey with you for the last few years. He and Alexis all went to high school together. What a great opportunity to be teammates in the same business, in the same team. It is amazing. How can people get a hold of you, Dawn, that want to find out a little bit more about what you do, how they can connect with you, how can they can find out where some of your events are?
Absolutely. They can reach me on Facebook. My name is Dawn, and my maiden name is Barron on Facebook, Baron, and then Ferrentino, F as in Frank, Ferrentino. And they can also reach me at dawnferrentino.com, which is my website.
Dawn, a privilege having you on tonight's call. Look forward to sharing the stages of life with you. I will see you next Saturday in the front row in beautiful Newark, New Jersey, at the airport at the Marriott with Joe Dispenza and Alexis Romano. Dawn, thank you very much. First-class woman, great friend, and a great humanitarian. Dawn Ferrentino, folks. Dawn, let you know how she can reach her. I will be back on next Tuesday night's call at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. This call has officially been recorded and is available for playback tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific. Once again, for those of you who want to take advantage of the prospecting clinic, you can still take advantage of that offer at goldenmastermind.com. On the home page, very top, says prospecting clinic. And anyone that wants to get a hold of me for a free 15-minute coaching session, 209-932-0227. Have a great evening, everyone. Thanks and good night.
Thank you so much, Jeff.